In verse 23 and 24 tells us we need to learn. I need to learn something from this. I need to learn how to make necessary changes when I'm supposed to.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI. Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Bless the Lord. Put your hands together and give him glory in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you for such a wonderful love, God. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. Could you just give the Lord a hand of praise for this first Lord's Supper experience? Amen, amen, amen. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for all that you've done thus far. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has paid the awesome price for every believer's life. And for that we say thank you. And now, Lord, we pray as we enter into your word that the Holy Ghost will give us liberty to walk in and through this word, to minister to us as you would have him do, that we will be receivers of your word and thus be blessed by your word. Let your word touch the hearts, men, women, girls, and boys, just the way you desire. Let no one leave this place today the same way they came. We bless you and thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise his holy name. I want someone to read for me 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 17 and 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 17 and 18.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Mm-hmm. And it reads, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God."
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God bless you. You may be seated.
Hallelujah, Lord.
I want to talk about
Hallelujah.
The message
Hallelujah, Lord.
Of the cross.
Power.
The message of the cross. This word, my brothers and sisters, is so important, especially in the day and time when churches are moving away from the preaching of the cross, the blood of Christ, and all that Jesus did to secure our freedom, our liberty, and our eternity. And it's so important for us to realize that the necessity of preaching the cross must continue till Christ comes. We cannot outgrow the cross. We can never get to that point where we're tired of hearing about the cross. It was at the cross. You heard the hymnologist, where we first saw the light. In other words, the understanding, the enlightenment of our faith came in understanding what Jesus did at the cross. And so it's important, because Paul is dealing with this with the church at Corinth, and he's helping to dispel some disputing going on about who's the best preacher and who's following who because of their ministry and this ministry and that ministry. And Paul deals with this in a few of the preceding verses, and he makes it clear some of you follow different men and their ministries. And then Paul, of course, had the greatest ministry and the largest ministry, and he tells them, he says, listen, he says, did any of you get baptized in Paul's name? Was Paul crucified for any of you? Now he was throwing this out to help them understand there ain't no preacher alive can say that he went to nobody's cross for you. You ought not be following men for the sake of following men, because you think men have more than Christ. Paul wanted to make clear they had it twisted. He says in that 17th verse, Christ sent me not to baptize. And let me clear this up. He's not saying that Christ did not ordain him and authorize him to baptize. Here's what he was simply saying, that Christ sent me to preach the gospel. And to understand that meant he was majoring in preaching. He had shown that he had already baptized some folk. So he was showing he wasn't against baptism, but he had men with him that would do the baptizing after he got them saved. Now, one of the things that was interesting that I think most folk miss is they misunderstand the power of the preaching of the gospel. When you preach the gospel and people are saved, they are then baptized as an outward sign of their accepting the Jesus Christ of that same cross that they were preached to. And so Paul is saying, if you really want to get it straight, the only reason why folk get baptized is because it's an outward sign of an inward conviction. They're just simply identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, when folk get saved, they get baptized. They don't get baptized to get saved. So by the time folk go down in the liquid grave, they've already been saved by the preaching of the gospel. Listen, otherwise it's like the old preacher say, they went down a wet devil, a dry devil, and came up a wet devil. Baptism doesn't save you. The power of the preaching of the gospel does. In a few of the following verses from 17 through 21, it deals with this issue of the cross and the preaching of the cross. It shares with us three important things, if you're taking notes, because I won't be able to exhaust that in this message, but it deals with the preaching of the cross, the purpose of the cross, and the power of the cross. Now, Paul is dealing with these issues, and he's making them clear because he says something here that's so important in verse 17. He said that God, the Lord Jesus, sent him to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. To understand this phrase, wisdom of words, it would seem like Paul would say words of wisdom. But in further searching that term, wisdom of words, it was a reference to an elite group of scholars, theologians, academicians, and orators. And they got together, and because of their expansive vocabulary and their ability to make the word more complicated in its presentation than simplified, it was called wisdom of words. And so Paul was trying to make clear, having just been to Athens and dealing with some of the greatest philosophers and minds of that day, and came back down with a determination to Corinth to make the message simple, to make the message plain, to make the message clear. He was making clear, if you take the word of Jesus Christ, you take the word of God and complicate it with all of your oration and all of your expansive ability to use polysyllabics and to be able to deal and delve in words that confuse and become convalescent in terms of understanding, you have made the preaching of the cross of none effect. In other words, it's a simple truth. Tell it like it is. You ain't got to impress nobody. If the preaching of the cross like it is don't impress them, they won't be impressed. Verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. So to the unsaved person, the person who will not accept the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching is foolish anyhow. Nothing you gonna say gonna impress them. They don't like it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to be a part of it. It's not meant for them. And so those who perish, who are lost, listen, don't want to hear the preaching of the gospel. But the word says, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The power of God. The power to do everything. This is the root word that we get the word dunamis from, which is where we get our English word dynamite from. It is an explosive word. It is a word that gets things done. It is a word that gives us power to change things. It is a life-changing word. It is a life-changing power. How many times have you come to church and your heart, your soul, your mind was all messed up and you heard a word from the Lord. How many of you were on the verge of making a bad decision, but the power of the word was preached and God made the decision clear for you? How many of you were at the point of giving in, throwing in the towel, deciding you can't take no more of this, you've had all you can take, but God sent a life-saving word to you? It's power. How many of you know Paul and them preached in the Old Testament? In the New Testament. And while they were preaching, people got saved under the power of the word. I'm trying to tell you, there's power in the word of God. Lives are changed. People are changed. Situations are changed. Things are different under the anointing of God's word. That's why the devil don't want people to hear the word. That's why when things happen in your life, the devil wants to keep you away from church, because you might get a word. A word that resonates underneath the skin, touches your spirit, man, reaches beyond your ears, beyond your natural mind, gets to your spiritual mind, gets to your spiritual eyes, gets to the place where God wants that word to create a change. And so you might have come one way, but you leave another way because of the word. There's power in that word. Those of us who are saved know that it's power. How do we know it's powerful? Because we've experienced it. Time after time after time after time. The power of God's word has made a difference. And it comes from preaching about Christ and that finished work at Calvary. Every time we hear a message about the cross and the cross of Calvary, the cross of Christ at Calvary, it ought to do something to us. It ought to make us pay attention. It ought to remind us afresh of the great and awesome price he paid for us. Listen, who still have issues when he has bought and paid for every one of us our sin debt. Yet we're still struggling with issues and things. And thank God that the power of that cross, the blood of Jesus Christ, still deals with that for us today. And my brothers and my sisters, if we miss the message of the cross, if we miss the fact that that sin debt was paid for us, if we miss the fact that by his stripes we are healed, if we miss the message of the cross that he paid for our peace and prosperity, then my brothers and my sisters, we have missed what the message of the cross has given to us on this side and the other side. Part of the salvation we have is so that we can live on this side of glory in authority, in power, in the ability to be overcomers, to continue the work that Christ did, to show off that he is who he say he is, because we're living witnesses. That he's still working miracles, because each and every, matter of fact, if you don't believe it, look at the person on the side of you, on the left, on the right. You can say, my God, I'm looking at a miracle. If some of them weren't ashamed and weren't mean enough to say, they would tell you, it's a miracle I'm still here today. I could have been, I should have been dead sleeping in my grave. So I need to understand what was done for me. I'm so glad they prayed for me. But when everybody else gets through praying for me, what I read the other day blesses my heart. Jesus prayed for me. And then he covered me with his blood. And then he paid for my sin. And then he paid for my healing. And then he paid for my peace and my prosperity. I ain't got no business walking around here feeling guilty when I have turned it over to the Lord. I've repented and the devil bring up mess that done happened. I need to tell him that's old stuff, man. Here is my receipt. When Satan attacks my body, I got to keep making him understand it ain't your body no more. This belongs to the Lord. I've been bought with a price. Here's my receipt. Hold up the word. You can't disturb my mind, depress me, oppress me, mess with me. I've got a peace that passeth all understanding. Wait a minute. All my stuff you done stole from me, took from me, I want it back. Seven times, prosperity is a part of my salvation. I can't forget what the blood has done for me. Oh, the blood. There's power in the blood. Won't you just touch two or three people and tell them there's power in the blood? Come on, tell them there's power in the blood. Come on, tell them there's power in the blood. You don't know like I know what he's done for me through his blood and his cross. Let me try and get through a little more of this if you don't mind. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This ain't the part where I say that. I'm trying to get on a little further. Wait, listen. Listen. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I used to wonder why some folk would be in church and just sit there like a lump on a log. Didn't feel nothing. Didn't move. Didn't say nothing. Looked like they were already dead. And other folk were jumping around them shouting. Tears rolling down their eye. I got news for you. Everybody in church ain't having church. Everybody that hears about the cross don't know about the cross. But to us which are saved, we know it's the power to make you do right when you want to do wrong. Power to make your enemies leave you alone. Power to lift up a bowed down head. Power. Oh, goodness. Verse 19 says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Then look at what he says in in the 20th verse. He asks four questions. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? And then he goes on to say, hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? In other words, you got some folk who are so smart that they're smart stupid. The world and how it began is featured in Genesis chapter 1. But we've got some smart folk who say that ain't how the story went. Now they can't tell you how it started. They'd rather give the credit to a theory that says one day there was a big bang and everything started. And then we had this thing called evolution. That means that we developed from something else. And they keep on saying all of these things that they do not have concrete proof of, but they'd rather take that than what the Word of God says happened. Now, some of the smarter, stupid folk who realized that they could not make what they're saying work decided they'd take a look at the book. And now, to their amazement, they're finding out that what happened in the book really did happen. When they're trying to go back and put in time that didn't fit, what happened? Well, one of those times was when Joshua prayed and God made the sun stand still for a whole day. They couldn't find it in time till they went back in the Word. Y'all ain't hearing me here. There are all sorts of signs and symbols and things in the Word that they can't understand in the world until they go back and search the Word. With all of their wisdom, God made a fool out of them because they thought they were smarter than these were so rich in their thought patterns and thought processes, and they decided they were going to build a tower to reach up into the heaven. God said, ain't nobody checked with me on that. And so with all of that wisdom and schematic plans and how they were doing, it was going and going and gone until God said, it's gone enough. And he confused their language. And at that moment in time, a multiplicity of languages were born. Man was asking for a hammer, and they reaching him a brick. One saying, give me a nail, and they reaching him a board. By the time they got through saying this, nobody could reach anybody what they ever want. They got mad. You get mad long enough, you start cussing. You get mad long enough, you start cussing. You start fussing. You start fussing, and you just say, I quit. And they left it undone. But I want you to hear something else. Verse 21 says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, in the wisdom of who? God. The world by wisdom knew not God. Listen, the world by wisdom, knew not God. All these brainy folk, smart folk, intelligent.